Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά. Βρείτε περισσότερες ενδιαφέρουσες ιστορίες στο sbs.com.au/greek.
Ms. Thimopoulos, what would you advise the multicultural communities in regards to the risks of coronavirus? We're going through a pandemic. What would you advise them?
We are indeed going through a pandemic, and I think the response of communities has been generally one of great anxiety, understandably, but I think as we have seen through the leadership of Premier Daniel Andrews in these uncertain times, that the government's actions have really been quite decisive and moved towards safety very, very early on. Nonetheless, the various kind of requirements have really impacted on our communities. There are some people that are obviously more vulnerable than others. I think we've seen the concern that we all have. Certainly I personally have these concerns for my own elderly parents, but we know there's a disproportionate impact on them. We're certainly aware of the vulnerabilities of people with pre-existing conditions or underlying illnesses. We've been told again about people who've returned from overseas and just how critical that session of quarantine is. And of course, our marvellous healthcare workers who are at particular risk. So coronavirus poses a threat to all of us. I think that would be fair to say. It's not about one group or another. It's a risk to everybody. That's why collectively, as a whole community, we have to take actions to respond. We have to reduce the spread. And I think the stage three restrictions, which means we all have to stay home, have been very, very important. I know that people still are sadly not observing some of these restrictions. I think the problem of some young people thinking that they're immune from this virus is something that has really received a lot of attention of late. But can I reiterate that in regards to the risk, if we're going to really fight this together, and we are all in this together, then the only reason we should be leaving our houses is to shop for food and other essentials, seek medical service, attend work or education where you can't do it from home, or you're an essential service, as I say, or exercise. So, so important that we recognise the significance of these kinds of restrictions.
In your opinion, has multicultural Australia understood the seriousness of the situation?
Well, as I said before, yes and no. I think most people are doing the right thing, and I think most people are following the health advice and restrictions that have been put in place. But that's also about making sure that as governments or as institutions responsible for community communication and education, we also have to make sure that a big part of understanding the situation is about making sure that the right information reaches people. And for many, many reasons, as we know, with multicultural Victorians, multicultural Australians, this might mean receiving the information in a culturally responsive, in a multilingual form. We need to make sure that there are in-language information services that reach people with health advice. And certainly at the Victorian Multicultural Commission, we've been advocating for more of this. And the government's responding and obviously producing more and more resources this week. SBS itself, of course, has been doing a tremendous job in making sure that outreach is wide and is informing our hard-to-reach communities, many of them being either culturally and linguistically diverse or, of course, ethnic communities within that. The seriousness, I think, is a harder one in the sense that it's so hard, of course, to prevent the spread of misinformation. And I'm sure many of us have come across some of that stuff on social media. We've heard the mythology kind of bounce around. Sadly, at times, globally, some of our leaders out there are propagating some of this mythology, and that just doesn't help. The fact of the matter is we're in stage three. The restrictions are in place. We can't ignore them. The advice is there. The majority of us need to stay home as long as we make sure that we are informing people appropriately and effectively. Then I think that seriousness needs to be really taken on board. Look, I get very annoyed, I think, about some of that complacency. I've even heard it in my own sort of peer group. People think they're invincible. I'm healthy. I'm not going to get it. Well, you may well be healthy, but the fact is that anyone can carry the virus and not know it and pass it on to others. So you may have no symptoms, they might be mild, but at the end of the day, you could pass it on to someone vulnerable without even knowing it. And we've seen that some people have survived life-threatening situations before, and sometimes they think that means that they're more immune to what's currently going on. You know, I've even heard again some members of my family say, oh, I went through World War II, I went through these various kind of traumas. That's true, and there is certainly a lot of resilience that experiences like that can build in our community. But at the same time, I do think that our situation right now is different. We shouldn't be comparing it. We should be asking, what is the situation right now and how best can we respond to it? And I think, you know, just think about it, more than 69,000 people have died around the world, and probably more even as we speak. In Australia, 37, 38 lives, I think. Now, we all need to realise that at the end of the day, we are in all this together. We know the disease spreads easily. So you might not think you're at risk. You are. And only because you might potentially transmit the disease to someone who just won't survive that contact. I can't say that or emphasise that. More importantly, please, let's look out for each other.
You touched on a point that I wanted to put to you in combination with the resources, the availability of resources specifically for the multicultural communities.
Yes.
Because some of the multicultural communities, or most of them if you want, they have gone through the trauma of war, and that exists in our collective memory, in our living memory. But we don't have a living memory of a pandemic. Therefore, we don't have collectively a point of reference. Are there dedicated resources for the multicultural communities? For example, a dedicated hotline? And are there valuable resources culturally and linguistically suitable for this particular situation?
Look, I think that you're right in terms of the experiences, those lived experiences of our diverse communities can only be a positive thing in the sense that it helps to build our resiliency. I'm also hoping that resiliency means knowing where and when to ask for help. And that's why these hotlines are so critical. And I really want to encourage people that if they're concerned that they have symptoms, don't hesitate. There is a coronavirus hotline. If I could read out the number, it's 1-800-675-398. That's 1-800-675-398. It's available 24 hours a day. So if you're concerned, then give them a call. Now, if you need an interpreter, of course, the telephone interpreting services are also available. And if it's an emergency, an absolute dire emergency, and emergencies only, of course, because we don't want to take up valuable resources and time, then 000. In terms of those translated materials, as I mentioned, the Victorian Multicultural Commission has really been trying to emphasise the importance of making sure that information, appropriate information in language, is out there. The Department of Health and Human Services have translated materials. If you go to their website, which is coronavirus.vic.gov.au, I'm proud to say that there is information in more than 40 languages, and indeed a dedicated Greek in language page is there. It is important that you go directly to those formal websites. I mentioned before that part of the struggle with some of this stuff is managing the misinformation that gets spread so easily. It is important that you're getting accurate health information through these kinds of dedicated websites and hotlines.
Women who face violence in the home have been identified as more vulnerable and more at risk, as many organizations and researchers have been warning. What about the women in the ethnic communities? Where can they find help? And what can you tell us about that? Not so much as the vice chair of the Victorian Multicultural Commission, but mostly as the chair and co-founder of the Harmony Alliance, and as a lawyer who has done extensive work in the space of domestic violence.
Look, can I say that the impact of COVID-19 on women and children generally experiencing family and domestic violence is being acknowledged. We've seen more recent government, national and state government responses, increased funding, certainly Council of Australian Governments meeting of women's safety officers. I think an increasing acknowledgement that, yes, we've been saying it's absolutely vital that Australians stay at home, control the spread, keep the community safe. But as you've rightly pointed out, for so many women and children, home is not a safe place to be. It might not have been before this whole thing happened, and it might be that first-time victims are now reaching out and experiencing the effects. So I think that putting place in measures is really important for these women and children because that risk is exacerbated. Now, you mentioned, of course, that there are particular impacts for women from culturally and linguistically diverse communities. And I always like to highlight that for women on temporary visas or other kind of visas, you can imagine the range of barriers to accessing the sort of support that's been put out there. Now, we know that there are some innovative digital platforms that are being offered out there, that there are online counselling sessions that are being provided. But I've yet to see, if I can say, sufficient investment and attention being focused on what does this mean for me if I'm a woman who doesn't speak English, who is not able to access various resources out there at the best of times, let alone in this current environment. What are the sorts of services that are available to me? And I think we have to collectively really give some thought to what does that mean for these women and children? How do we tailor their specific needs? But can I say, and I hope that I don't sound like I'm cynical or lacking in being able to see the potential for change here, but this is a conversation that I've had for the 25 plus years I've been working in this sector. Perhaps now, ironically, might be the opportunity for us to start recognising the differential impacts that these kinds of scenarios have. I think if there's anything that's really being exemplified right now is the way that this virus has shown up the inequities in our society, and access to these services remains an inequity in terms of access to justice, being able to seek the right to safety is a fundamental call that I'd like to make. What can you do? Well, certainly there are services that are out there. I think the call for greater role for ethno-specific services needs to be made. The greater support for many of these, which might be the frontline workers that are being contacted right now. I think we need to have a greater look at how perhaps the landscape around who is an appropriate service needs to be reconsidered in this environment. But can I say to all of our communities that it is a collective response? We do need to be accountable for these issues because they are societal issues as well. If you think someone's not safe, if you suspect that they're being made more vulnerable to abuse at home, please reach out. Think of the COVID-19 restrictions as another opportunity to re-engage with someone you think might be unsafe. If the perpetrator asks you why, you're using your social isolation as a reason for why you're calling more often than usual. We can do these sorts of things at the grassroots level. And of course, ultimately, if there are serious concerns for your physical welfare, then don't hesitate to call 000, call police. There are 24-hour services in Victoria like Safe Seps. There's a national helpline on 1800 Respect. I'm very pleased to say that these are the services that can access interpreters if required. But of course, at the end of the day, if I don't know what exists out there and I don't feel informed, then that is going to make it 10,000 times harder. And finally, if I could sort of plug, encourage our communities to give some thought to the fact that children are also being made so much more vulnerable as well. They're often the sort of invisible victims, the ones that don't get heard. Or we often think about family violence as having an impact on adults, but fail to recognise the very traumatic, very, very traumatic impact of this violence, and sadly, in some cases, a fatal impact at that.
Thank you very much. I've taken enough of your time.
Candina, can I just say at the end, because I know that, you know, this virus is really showing some negative aspects out there. We're seeing racism, we're seeing the impact of physical distancing. You know, some at the same time, though, I did want to end by saying, look, we don't get to choose these events. We don't, you know, pick them out, but we do get to choose how we respond, whether it's to racism or family violence or some of the inequities for refugees and others that are being highlighted in our response right now. When we do get into that recovery phase, I'm really hoping that as we put our societies and our worlds back together, this is the chance to really think about how we do that differently, how we do it better, and how we do it humanely. And I'm hoping that it's in that spirit that we continue to respond collectively.
You've touched on racism, and I need to ask this. As a Victorian Multicultural Commission, have you received complaints about racist episodes during the restrictions or straight before them?
Look, racism has been an issue that's been raised repeatedly by many of our stakeholder groups. The Victorian Multicultural Commission continues to consult widely with our community leaders, our faith leaders. The issue of racism has sadly been one that's been cited many occasions. We were heartened and inspired by our Premier's very clear statement of unacceptability. This is behaviour that simply won't be accepted. In fact, it's illegal. It's against the various pieces of protective law that we have in this state, in fact, in this country. But it is sadly something that is of grave concern to us. The increased racist rhetoric, I think, again, globally, doesn't help. Making reference to the China virus has simply translated in people using this as an opportunity to attack members of our diverse Asian communities. As the Premier rightly said, this is unacceptable, and truly I think we need as a community to make it clear that this is a virus that impacts all of us, that history tells us it's not the first time that a fear of disease gets linked to particular ethnic groups. But there was a line that one of my colleagues made, coming from a so-called Asian background, where she made it very clear in a public statement, my ethnicity is not a virus. And the time for facts, not fear, is what we need to be emphasizing.
Κάντε like, μοιραστείτε, σχολιάστε, ακολουθήστε μας στο Facebook, στο SBS Greek.